Live from KFNX News Talk Radio 1100, it's Chatterbox, where you'll find the latest news, interviews, and updates about the gaming world. The views and opinions expressed are those of the host, the guests, and callers only, and not necessarily those of KFNX News Talk Radio 1100. And now here's your hosts for Chatterbox.
Welcome, guys. It's another episode of Chatterbox Video Game Radio. My name is Ara. I'm going to be your host tonight, just like last week, apparently, because Alon is missing once again, and Rich isn't here either. I guess they're out making out in the corner in some kind of bathroom or something. So I was talking to him earlier this week, and I was like, dude, I'm so swamped with work this week, and I'm sick and tired of coming up with all the show topics, and you're going to have to, you know, take care of it tonight. So he's like, don't worry, we have a really good interview. And I was like, all right, cool. So here I'm at the station. Alon's nowhere to be found, so I get to talk to a piece of cheese all night long. So this is awesome. So what's been going on this week? Well, there was GDC last week. I'm sure Alon has a lot of stuff to say if he ever shows up tonight. About that. There's a few really interesting things happened. The first one, most notable of which, was this offer from EA to buy Take-Two. Now, this is like, you know, this is a huge deal, right? I mean, this isn't like your normal, like, oh, you know, Square and Enix, like two pretty big companies, you know, or like mergers in the past. I mean, this is like in a whole other league. This is like Exxon versus Shell territory, right? So, you know, it's kind of scary, you know, especially the way that this whole thing went down, which was, you know, EA makes an offer to buy out Take-Two. Take-Two's like, no, you're crazy. And then they're like, oh, okay, we'll just go public with this offer, right? So they offered about...
the presses were here!
Hey, I'm trying to run a show in here!
Wow.
I'm trying to...
Oh, my God. The party's never ended this joint.
That's right.
Get my stuff together.
I've been here for like an hour.
Whew. That GDC kept us going.
I bet it did.
Can you believe it?
I was just telling all of our wonderful listeners about the EA merger, or the soon-to-be EA merger, because it's about to be a hostile takeover.
Are we talking about the Ubisoft thing?
No, not Take-Two.
Yeah.
So, I had no idea.
So let me fill you in. Since
maybe they'll stop trying to sue me.
Well, that would be nice. But since you and Rich are too busy making out to come on the show on time.
It's true.
That's exactly what happened.
I know this. This is why I tell everybody. So here's the interesting thing, right? This is the way it went down, right? EA's like, we're going to buy you out $26 a share, right?
$26 for the whole company?
No, that wouldn't. Well, I mean, you know. Then Take-Two is like, no, like, that you're crazy, whatever. And then like, oh, we'll just write a public letter and tell everyone, right? So $26 a share, I don't know what the share price is at now, right? But before they offered it, it was like 60% under what it is now, right? So like, share price shoots up like crazy, apparently, in response, as is usual for this kind of thing. And the thing that I find is interesting about the whole deal is that why are they doing this now? Oh, what's coming out in a couple of months? It's GTA 4.
That's true.
And this letter that has been posted on the internet that was way too effing long for anyone to read, but I did read the beginning of it. It said that it was basically, they're like, well, you know what? It's in the best interest of all your shareholders and basically everyone in the world to let us buy you out. Not only let us buy you out, but let us do it like quickly, as fast as possible, and before GTA 4 comes out.
It's probably true, but I really can't speak for it. I'm trying to find the stock price right now.
I think it was like 34 or whatever, 24 or 25.90 or something like that. Anyway, you know what this sounds like to me? This is like EA is trying to strong arm their purchase of Take-Two.
$26.85 right now.
There you go. Before Take-Two figures out exactly how many millions they're going to make off of GTA 4.
Well, come on. They're not dumb. They realize that they're going to make a whole bunch of money.
Sure.
So
I mean, the funny thing is Take-Two stock price now is really depressed. It's been depressed for several months, right? And
hasn't it been for a long time since all those lawsuits and whatever happened?
Yeah, yeah. I mean, like more like maybe almost a year even, right? But it's like, I don't know, dude. I'm really curious what would have happened to the stock price if EA hadn't have offered this, right? And if they're going to do hostile takeover, I mean, EA and Take-Two, how many more years do we have to let pass by before there's like two video game companies?
Well, here's the thing. Things are happening in the industry to actually bring us some interesting games, even without EA publishing them. I know it's hard to believe that there might be games coming out that EA didn't publish.
Oh, trust me. I ignore them thoroughly in all of my gaming exploits.
But here's what's going down. From the GDC, a lot of people have paid attention, but then again, a lot of people listen to the show because they don't pay attention to other news. Microsoft was the only big company that gave a keynote, and one of the main things they talked about was the XNA Creators Club, which was really
finally
brought out a year ago, but they didn't. Microsoft has this tendency to create some new idea or product or something, right? And it only comes to real fruition, like only to real benefit, after a year has passed and all, you know, the testing or whatever is sort of out of the way. Kind of like Xbox Live comes out, but there's not really a whole lot going on for the first year. So sort of this, a similar example. So anyway, XNA Creators Club comes out. You can make games if you pay like $100 a year or some smaller fee for the quarter or a month or something, just like Xbox Live. Does it allow like down to the month for XNA?
What's that?
I think you can buy it in quarters.
Do what now?
Be a member of XNA Creators Club so you can put your games on your Xbox.
I don't know.
So the quarterly subscription is for those people who think they know something about game development and then will give up after 3 months.
It's not important. So moving on, right? They come out with this stuff so people can make games using the XNA development kit for Windows, but then also, you know, do whatever they need to do to simply convert it over to Xbox 360, which I'm told is fairly easy for someone who knows what they're doing. So now they announce that these XNA games that you previously could only play if you were part of the Creators Club, now you'll be able to get it just by having an Xbox Live membership, right?
Yep.
And actually, they're testing this theory out where you can get the XNA game launcher right now, and there's, like, I think 11 days left where you can actually play the games, although one of the people involved in one of the games that's being demoed right now was just telling me today that it might not be downloadable past today. But like you could
really?
Play it if
okay.
you download it.
Okay.
Yeah.
Speaking of which, when I was told that I would enjoy a mysterious and insane world full of surprises where nothing is as it seems, I
what are you talking about?
I wasn't aware that they were talking about the flipping UI interface on the Xbox. This
okay,
thing
this
is driving me nuts.
Is that because your Xbox
what
is all
about
broken?
It?
No, it's not broken. All I want to know is just what's new since I was there last. And it's like it's just insane.
A lot.
Yeah, a lot. Yeah. I have to go through like 20 menus, and they're not even
you
organized
have
right
to go
anymore.
Through less menus now.
Yeah,
by the
see,
way.
That's the thing. Every time they make an improvement,
mm-hmm.
they F it up. They don't know what they're doing. Why can't Microsoft, why can't you hire a designer who knows what they're doing?
All right.
Because
I don't know. I think the new dashboard layout is way better than the previous.
Yeah, way better than S.
All right, let me wrangle this back
in,
kids.
I'm just saying.
I've got 1 minute left to explain the interview that we have coming up.
Okay.
So XNA Creators Club lets people make games for the Xbox 360. And if they're really cool, maybe eventually they'll even be downloaded on Xbox Live if the Xbox Live community or Creators Club community deems it an acceptable game, meaning like it didn't rip off trademarks or copyright or whatever. And that it's marked correctly or appropriately, rather, for graphic violence and all the different things that they want to be marked as. One of the big games that they talked about was a game made by James Silva, who created The Dishwasher. That's the name of the game, completely on his own. Like, he did the art, the sound, the programming, everything, all on his own. And they really showcased it, and Major Nelson, like, helped make this whole video about the history of his deciding to make a game, and it was just a spoof. It was funny. But he made this game completely on his own, which is fascinating to me. And Ara, given that you're in game development, I think you'd appreciate someone making something ground up from scratch that's actually good.
I can definitely appreciate that.
So he was, I believe, one of like four people who won an actual Xbox Live contract where they're going to put the game on.
That's
not even
awesome.
As just XNA Creators Club. Like, he just goes to sell his game.
That's kick butt.
And he's going to be with us in just a few minutes. to have a little interview on the show. So we're going to go give him a call during the break. We'll have him on. If you have any questions for him, if you're listening live, give us a call at 866-536-1100.
We'll be back.
You're listening to Arizona's News Talk Leader, KFNX News Talk Radio, 1100.
And we're back. The Chatterbox video game radio show with myself, Alon.
And my name's Aura.
And my name's Rich. Over
we
here.
Even have...
I was about to butt in.
Cutting everybody off every time.
Yeah, that's what I'm good at.
I've noticed, actually. That's kind of your theme.
That's, you know, they say that you should go with what you're good at.
All right. Well, Michaela
yes.
is also here. She was with us 2 weeks ago before we went to the GDC. She actually attended the GDC with me. And I talked about we wanted to do the video game or the non-video game player experiment with you and talk to you after playing some games. But now we can also take, like, a person who didn't know much about the industry, went to an industry event, and suddenly got a whole lot more interested in it.
Yes, absolutely.
Which is ironic, actually, because you sort of worked in the industry at some... Well, kind of. Like, it's weird. It's a bit of a stretch.
Just a bit.
She recruited students for video game design schools.
I did.
Well, a school, which will remain nameless.
Yes, please.
At the moment. Because you probably have bad things to say.
Yeah.
All right. Well, away from that topic, we're going to remind everyone about a good game design school, UAT, the University of Advancing Technology. You can visit their website at uat.edu. And you can always call us and ask questions about it, because... I mean, Rich is supposed to be going there. Are you going back, Rich, after this semester?
We'll see.
We'll see.
All right. That's a resounding answer.
Yeah. Well, I'm a graduate.
Yeah.
I'm not a graduate.
That's fine. We've actually talked to you, Ara, about how you got into the industry building sort of a total mod for Unreal at some point. Was it a total mod or just a level design?
It was basically just a level, but it was like a six-month thing. Like, I did everything. I did art.
Well,
I did design. I did... audio.
Well, we said we're going to bring James Silva on, and that's sort of along that theme, right? People who go to school to go into games, or people who just make a level and somehow get in, right? Because they get noticed for making something good. It's kind of like the Portal team.
Right. Because they slave away for hours on end.
Well, they actually went to school for it, but then also produced something good that got noticed.
And then slave away for hours on end.
And then James Silva. Do we have him on the line, Norm?
Yeah. Can you hear me?
Yeah, I can.
Hey, what's up?
There you are. I don't know if you've been on the whole time or what.
What's happening, James?
Not too much. How you doing?
Pretty good.
So that's Ara, the co-host. You didn't actually get to meet him. He wasn't at the Game Developers Conference because apparently you were too busy making stuff for Rainbow Studios, right?
They locked me up in the studio, and they said I couldn't leave.
Well, that's fine. We got to go. Michaela and I met this wonderful young gentleman who apparently, although younger than us, has a master's degree, I believe, in some sort of...
Computer science.
Useful field, right?
Computer science.
Where did you go?
SUNY IT in upstate New York.
Right on. Yeah, you pretty much stayed close to home.
Yeah.
That was good. So then you go about, I guess, finish school and you start building the game, or were you building this... well, you know what? Let's go into the history, I guess, or what this game is, right? Let's do that first.
Sure.
All right, so how do you describe the game when your friends ask you, wow, you made a game for Xbox Live?
You want the sort of backstory of it? Or?
Yeah.
Just that. It's about this sort of psychotic dishwasher who, he's sort of like a ninja, and he, all these evil cyborgs are trying to kill him, and he just like cuts through wave after wave of them.
Is this based on a true life story?
What's that?
Is it based on real life?
It's close, yeah. Everything except the cyborgs. Because I was a dishwasher at this like. Sort of fakey, upscale Italian restaurant that, like, it was all the items on the menu were in Italian, but none of the waiters knew how to pronounce them.
That's
sort
awesome.
Of fakey upscale. Yeah, so I was a dishwasher, and you know, you get no respect as a dishwasher, so I started grumbling to myself. And
so you're like, F this, I'm going to make an Xbox game.
Yeah, right. Well, I kept reminding myself, it's like, you know, Bruce Lee was a dishwasher, and, like, look what happened to him, besides the whole dying young part.
Yeah, you know? Well... You've still got time, James.
So
were you a dishwasher while going to school?
Yeah, yeah.
All right, so basically at the point when you were capable of actually starting to program something, it was fresh in your mind. And So I kind of want to hear about how the concept evolved. Is it just because you wanted to practice something using XNA, or had you started this before XNA even came, and then you just brought it to fruition?
The dishwasher idea I had for a long time, and just, I kept trying to make it, and it just things kept happening. You know, it just never quite got there. And then that was like a couple of years went by, and then XNA framework came out, and I just, you know, I thought it was, to this day, I still think it's just the coolest thing that, you know, with like virtually no budget, you can deploy games on a console. So that came out, the contest came out, and I was like, hey, maybe it's about time to make the dishwasher, you know, and the rest is history.
Now, the reason we were late, and this is completely honest, is actually because we were too busy playing.
And what were you playing?
Yeah, well, we were playing the dishwasher, right?
So it was fun.
Rich was loving it.
It was really cool. There's blood everywhere, and you cut people's heads off, and yeah.
We weren't even playing. He was just playing by himself. Here's the thing. Like, Rich comes over around 8 o'clock before we're ready to go to the show, so we have a really limited amount of time to, you know, just shoot the S, I guess, before going to the show. I was like, all right, Rich, we just got home. We've got to download this stuff so you can see this game before we go, because he didn't even know about it. Because it's the first time I've talked to him since the GDC.
Yep.
And so we immediately download it. Of course, it's one of the larger games from the XNA Creators Club. Is there a 150 meg cap for the games that you make?
I think it was like Trilinea or something was like 170 megs.
It's 190, yeah, but I could have sworn I read that 150 was the cap.
Yeah.
All right.
That's for XBLA. I think that's still officially the cap. So this is sort of, you know, it's XNA, so it's like a different thing.
Okay.
I don't think there's any official change on the cap at all.
Right on. So anyway, we're busy playing, and he doesn't really want to put it down, and then eventually we leave, and of course we end up being late to the studio. So anyway, I actually blame you for that, but we'll live. So you've had this idea for a couple years before XNA actually becomes available. I'm curious, what is so special about the XNA development environment that made it so easy for you to make? Was it just that the transition to the console was easy, or are the tools actually easier for you to work with?
Well, sort of both. I mean, the in terms of console, you know, it was never an opportunity to deploy to a console before XNA came out, XNA framework came out, and but yeah, otherwise though, they take a lot of, you know, just a lot of crap out of you know, putting a game together. There's a lot of ugly stuff you have to do, like, you know, setting up a frame loop and, you know, content loading and audio, and they just, like, all the ugly stuff, you know, they figured out, like, okay, at this point, everyone does the ugly stuff the same way. Let's just, you know, implement it for them and then let everyone concentrate on programming.
So I don't know if I'm educated enough to speak about this intelligently, but I think basically they give you useful libraries that you don't have to rewrite because theirs suck.
Yeah.
So basically they give you useful stuff rather than past companies. Like, I remember when I went to, I did this, like, two-week DigiPen thing where you make a game, like a camp almost.
Yeah, and I know what you're talking about.
So they give you some libraries to work with, but usually when companies give you things to work with their console or whatever, they end up being rewritten because they're just crappy and generic. And so people make their own engines and whatever. And so I'm guessing, having not done it myself, based on what you're saying, apparently they're actually good.
For what I'm doing, they're awesome. I think if you get into some, like, high-level 3D stuff, you probably want to rework some stuff on your own. Especially, like, you know, if you're really meticulous about performance. But I think for 99% of the people out there, you know, they're perfect.
So had you worked on any game projects that, like, anyone other than your close friends in your basement actually saw prior to this, I mean?
Yeah, I've made some, you know, they're kind of cruddy games over the years. And I've got this very tiny, very rabid fan base of them, mostly, like, about smashing zombies. I think I remade this Nintendo game, River City Ransom. I remade it as a zombie smashing game.
Nice.
I like it.
Rich likes anything where zombies
killing
are
zombies
smashed
in general
blood.
Is just always fun.
Okay, so you've got that demographic.
Yeah, you got me.
The 22-year-old college dropout.
Yeah. One thing 21. That I'm curious about, actually, is from start to finish, how long did it take you to make this game?
Well, the prototype for GameFest, which was, you know, it won the Dream Build Play contest. The prototype for that, it took about, like, 4 months, I think. And that, it's like, it, from start to finish, it was a complete game. Since then, I've been working for like 8 months, and I've been working very busily, so evidently there was a lot of stuff to still be done. But just to get to there was only 4 months. And then since then, I've been working, you know, a cumulative total of a year, and it's coming along quite nicely.
And do you actually do the music yourself, too, or do you get people to submit audio tracks?
No, that's my music. The drums are sampled loops, but all the guitar and bass and keyboard, and I do vocals somewhere. You know, that's all me.
Okay.
Cool. That's awesome.
So that's crazy, because I've thought if I made my own game, like, the music would be the hardest part, because I'm not inclined at all to actually create music from scratch. No. I might play music rhythm games well, yeah, but I don't create music.
You can play Guitar Hero.
I love Rock Band.
All right, well, listen, we're going to break. We're going to keep talking to you after this. Again, if anybody listening live actually wants to give us a call, it's 866-536-1100. Sadly, the vast majority of our audience, I believe, is podcast, so they won't even hear this until a few days from now, but it's good material anyway. We'll be right back.
It's me, Mario. You're listening to Chatterbox Video Game Radio. It's number one. Woohoo!
Welcome back, everybody. It's Chatterbox Video Game Radio. My name's Ara.
I'm Alon.
And my name is Rich.
And I'm Michaela.
And so we're here with James Silva. Now, James, this game of yours, The Dishwasher, which we haven't even described at all, it's kind of like a side-scroller hack and slash, right?
It's not a dishwashing right. game.
Not a game
yeah,
at all
not
about
not
dishwashing.
Game.
Say that again?
I want to wash dishes.
Yeah, it's
It'd
not
like
a
Cookie Mama,
Dash
but
or,
like
you know, casual game type thing.
All right. Hey, Rich, why don't we not talk over the guests,
I'm
huh?
I'm sorry.
All right, good plan.
Yeah.
So, yeah, it's side-scrolling hack and slash with lots of butcher's knives and grenades down people's throats and things like that. People in the chat room were asking, like, oh, yeah, we hadn't really talked about it yet, what kind of game it is. One thing we were talking about during the break, though, is the most fascinating part about this whole story, Michaela was bringing this up. Basically, you don't really have to work. Like, you thought, okay, I'm going to have to get a job, and then, maybe not. Tell us a little bit more about that revelation and how this has changed things for you.
I just graduated with my master's, and I just got a real job, and I had the real job for about 2 months, and then the contest ended, and I was like, okay, I guess I don't need a real job anymore. So, you know, since then, I've been working at home and trying to get the game done.
And has anyone encouraged you to get other people to help you with the game, or did you want to just keep it a solo effort the whole time?
I think like the great thing about it is it shows that one person can do it. So, I mean, if I can, if it's humanly possible, and I'm pretty sure it is, you know, with how things have been going, I'm just gonna work on it start to end.
And so now the next game that you work on, is it going to be like all fluffy bunnies and green meadows and stuff, or are you going to keep with this this angry, destructive theme?
You know, I started working on this game that I sort of started on it like while I was waiting for the judging and for the contest, just in case it didn't win. I mean, I wasn't expecting to win, honestly, but I worked on this game called Fruit the Game. And it was like you played as fruit and like fought junk food, and except it was full of like violence. Like, you know, you'd stick a sword in the guy and like split him in half and stuff. You know, I thought it was a great concept, but you know, I had to shelf it because I have to work on the dishwasher now.
That actually reminds me of a game that I played years ago called Pong Combat. Did you ever play that?
Maybe. Sounds familiar.
So basically, it was Pong, right? But like, you could do fatalities to the other Pong paddle, and it had like photorealistic backgrounds and stuff. It was amazing for the time. It was great.
I'm sure.
Right.
I really enjoyed it.
Yeah.
All right. Anyway,
there's something that's been on my mind that I'm kind of curious to ask you about. Sure. What was how was like the process of like when you first started, I guess, you know, making this project, or maybe even before this one, in terms of, like, you know, psychologically. Like, let me give you some background to the question. For example, like, you know, the stuff that I did to get into the game industry, you know, I, like, for example, I made this demo in, I made, like, a level in Unreal or whatever, right? And it was the kind of thing where, like, in the beginning steps of kind of going on this project, it just seemed like it was so insurmountable that I just had to be like, all right, you know what? I'm going to make myself work on this for an hour every day, right? And I mean, this is the kind of thing, like, you know, I'm kind of a programmer, but it's not my forte, you know, so I was just like, all right, I'm going to learn these tools and figure out, you know, how all this stuff interfaces and, you know, put something together. And really, like, in the beginning, the first, like, 2 or 3 months, it was like, you know, me making myself do something I didn't want to do. And it was only after that that I, like, built up enough momentum and steam that I was actually motivated to work on it every day. I'm wondering if, you know, you had any kind of experience that was similar or different from that.
I think, like, yeah, it's all sort of a race between your patience and how exciting it is, I guess you could say. Just in that when you start programming anything, like, you know, it's going to be a while until it's fun. You know, and usually the point where it gets really fun in games is when you can start killing things. So it takes a little while to get up to that point, especially if you're trying to structure it well.
Yeah, well, and, I mean, especially if you're starting, you know, straight up without, like, you know, some kind of, like, middleware or whatever, right? Because then, like, you have to do all your data structures and you have to do, like, all this stuff under the hood.
Right. And there's sort of a, you know, the kind of sophisticated character format for the way the characters are represented. It's not spectacular. Like, I imagine games like God of War and Ninja Gaiden probably have something a lot more complicated, but it's a lot more complicated than anything I've done up until now. Where was I going with this? But just in terms of, like, of representing them that way, so, you know, I had to make an editor first. Making an editor, that's really boring. Like a map editor, I had to do that. And, it, you know, it always comes down to, like, you know, do I have enough patience to remain excited while I'm doing all this, you know, the boring, making the editors,
yeah,
you know, doing the initial artwork. And also, there's all the uncertainty. It's like you're drawing something, and you're like, okay, I'm drawing this, but will this actually look good? You know, is this just a stupid project to get into? So, yeah, definitely the psychology of it is something fun. Yeah, I mean, something terrible.
So is this something you worked on while having some other major thing going on in life, like a real job? Or did you just decide that you're going to buckle down and concentrate?
Yeah, I was a full-time student, sort of. Well, I did like 12 credits, I think. So that's barely full-time, right?
Oh, for me, that's full-time.
That's
trust
full-time.
Me.
Yeah, okay. So I was doing that, and then I had, I think at the start of that, I had a part-time internship. And then towards the end, I quit the internship because, you know, study for finals. But then, you know, study for finals, so that takes some time, too. So there are plenty of distractions, and then, you know, I mean, school could get so boring that just being able to work on the game was just a blast compared to it, you know?
So now are all your friends attacking you, trying to figure out how they can get in on this, too?
No, my friends have been cool. I get them to play it with me sometimes.
Do you actually enjoy playing your own game?
Oh, yeah. I mean, it does become work, you know? it's work. You know, I've got to tell you, though, just, I get asked this question, like, way too many times to just sort of write it off. People ask me if I've beat my own game yet, you know? And it's just like,
wow.
Well, yeah, you know, like, asking if I'm able to beat it, like, if I'm that good of a player, you know? And I made the game, but I can't get past level 5. It's too hard. I just don't know what it's like at level 6, you know? I mean, maybe it's just something, you know, think about, you know, because I surround myself with this, like, all day, you know.
Yeah, I wouldn't have guessed that would have been, like, one of the most commonly asked questions.
Yeah.
I just figured you have a
really common, but just sort of common enough to make me uncomfortable.
I figure you just have a debugger that allows you to go to whatever level you have to happen to be testing that day.
Dude, yeah. He flippin' wrote the last level. He doesn't need a debugger.
I just figure it's like seeing the Matrix. You're like, oh, a character's going to come from the right side of the screen at exactly right now.
Yeah.
I'm going to be able to kill him by doing exactly this. I don't know.
Oh, right. No, I try to mix it up a little bit, you know.
So let me ask
and
you
also,
this.
And also, I've got, like, if I'm just testing, I put on a cheat that lets you kill everyone in one hit.
Oh, yeah.
That's, nice.
We definitely
that's
do
the way to do it. I want that. So, that makes the game super fun.
What were your...
trial.
I'm sorry, go ahead.
I just said it's not in the trial, the cheat. The kill. Sorry.
I'm just curious, what were your expectations for your career before you won and now after you won?
Before I won, and actually this is kind of interesting, I was telling, like, you know, I've got a roommate who, you know, he really likes music, really would like to do some music stuff, you know, and I would always be telling him, like, you know, don't follow your dreams, just follow your fallback plan, you know, and then, like, irony above ironies, I end up being the one who gets the... you know, gets to do the follow your dreams thing. But yeah, my expectations were, like, you know, I like working on games. I like making games, but, you know, this isn't something I'll be able to do as a career.
Tell me you were working on accounting software.
What's that?
Tell me you were working on accounting software.
With my job? No, it was actually kind of interesting. It was like all like aircraft flight plan visualization.
All right, hold that thought. We are going to break. We'll be right back. We'll keep you on for one more segment and then end the show. We're back once again. My name's Alon.
My name's Ara.
My name is Rich.
And my name is Michaela.
Now, all of our listeners, the ones listening live, they like to go on our chat. You can go to the chat room at chatterboxgameshow.com. Rich has actually been taking a couple questions.
I have a couple queued up, ready to go.
Now, James, you there with us?
Yep.
Excellent. Before we go on to these questions, I want to just apologize to your wonderful PR chick, as you put it earlier. She asked to conduct the interview in a different way, like give you the whatever, get you guys both on the phone, and I didn't even get that email until we were halfway through the show, so you can apologize to her for me.
But, okay. Yeah, she just likes to hear what goes on, you know.
Yeah. Sure, she didn't want to just tell you what not to say?
We know all about that.
No, she wasn't going to, you know, like, whisper, you know, Microsoft speak or something.
Say how great no, XNA cool. is. We love XNA. It's amazing. Go buy it.
All right, so Rich, we've got questions from the chat room.
Yes. Amakuli was wondering if that zombie game was called Zombie Smashers X by chance.
It was.
That is the game? All right, he will be pleased to hear that.
What does Amakuli have to say about that?
He likes that the game, apparently, so he's excited if it's the same guy, and it is. So.
It is. All
and
right.
And then one more question. Pen15 was wondering, where's the question here? What games inspire this violent 2D game mentality?
So like, well, it's got obvious sort of influences with the whole, you know, stylistic action genre. I think they're calling it its own genre now. But, you know, I'm a big fan of, like, Devil May Cry, Ninja Gaiden, and that whole thing. And, you know, I like side-scrollers. I grew up on Nintendo, so,
yeah,
you know, put it all together.
I'm telling you, I want to see you make the Fluffy Bunny Green Meadow game. Like, man, there's some movie where it's weird bunnies that are all happy that just go friggin' insane after a while.
I think that was your last acid.
The first five levels of the game, they're cheery and happy.
Reference number one from Aura tonight.
No, you know what make a great game? You know this? Do you watch South Park, James?
Yeah.
Good. All right. Then you're a normal person. And so you know the Christmas Critters?
Yeah, the woodland critters, right, like that.
What
yeah.
a good game the Christmas Critters would make. They're these happy little critters that are all about rape and destruction and death.
Yeah.
Like, they're happy, but let's rip off his head and, you know, dump down his neck.
No, I kind of like this, like, manual labor-inspired rage that he has going on, though. I think he could really take it to a whole new level.
With the dishwasher thing?
Yeah.
Okay,
yeah,
so...
Yeah, I've been told I should make, like, you know, the busboy and just sort of go from there.
Absolutely.
You know?
Now,
the Angry Mater D.
What other games that are available over the XNA sort of like test debut right now have impressed you?
I really like Jellicar. I just, you know, I'm a sucker for physics-based gameplay.
Rich was actually commenting on that one.
Yeah,
like the sound.
The sound is the coolest
Leak,
thing.
The guy who did Little Gamers, because, you know, he's awesome.
Oh, say that again, because Rich, once again, is speaking over you.
I fail.
So I have to give a shout-out to Loic, the guy who does Little Gamers, because he's awesome. The game's not bad, too, but...
The game's not bad. Is that the best you can say about it?
What's that?
Is that the best you can say about it? The game's not bad?
No, no, it's a cool game.
All right.
It's got everything that should be in a game. It's got, you know, zombies and chainsaws and sniper rifles. And
I saw the chainsaw.
So now what happens at this point? You've made this game. You get accepted. So essentially, you get an Xbox Live contract. So your game isn't actually going to be considered XNA Creators Club because it's going to have its own Xbox Live arcade contract? Or are you still going to be in the XNA grouping?
Yeah, it's just going to be straight up XBLA. So it's going to have all the standard like leaderboards and achievements. And I'm working on net play right now, so hopefully that's not completely abysmal when it's finished.
Ooh.
Okay. And so you're gonna be a full Xbox Live arcade, or your game will be a full Xbox Live arcade game. But does that also mean that since you have this history, you'll automatically be considered for future games that you make?
Nothing is official. And if it were, I wouldn't be able to say anything, probably. but I think like they like me. I like them. You know, I guess you'd call that a good working relationship. You know, it's a great story all around. You know, and it's just people love what I'm doing. You know, they love to see that some guy with very little experience with the whole games industry could just come out of nowhere and impress a lot of people.
That's one of the things the show is all about.
You know, I'm hoping we can take it and run with it.
That's what I like to have on the show, actually, is showing people how they can get into the industry. So I'm glad that we were able to have you on.
So here's another question. Have you been pressured or encouraged to add any features to your game that may not necessarily, you know, intrinsically fit with it, or that you may not have, you know, intended for it originally?
Well, there are standard XBLA features that you have to put in, but that's no surprise. You know, like the leaderboards and stuff. In terms of like artistic direction, they've just left it completely up to me. And I remember at one point someone sort of asked if I could make it a little less violent. you know, just in terms of you know, consideration, and I think. You know, this was a while ago, and
was that person like hugging a teddy bear?
Yeah, but it actually, I don't know if it's. I mean, the violence definitely like the blood's gone through like three or four different changes. You know, and it's all been, you know, my design. Nothing. It's obviously not really less violent from anywhere it was. So you know, it's definitely. You know, I've definitely got free reign with it all.
What do you think is Well, let me put this way. Why do you think you won?
Well, game's awesome. No, I don't know. It definitely, like, I think the feel of it, like, just sort of stands out. It's got, like, a look and feel that just really stand out. And, you know, I hate to brag, you know, but I don't know. I think it just works, you know.
Are any of the other games as complete as yours?
There were some impressive ones, for the original contest. I don't know. I remember, well, Shuggy was one I was really impressed by. I really don't know what happened to them. I hope they pursued some publishing contract elsewhere. You know, probably for XBLA eventually.
That's one of the things, though. Like, completeness is something that's very difficult. People will come up with a concept and maybe have some fun gameplay mechanic, but actually putting the polish on it to make it feel like a complete game is an extra, a very large extra effort, even though it only produces a small part of visible, you know, polish on the game, but it's a huge amount of effort to just sort of clip all the loose ends and get it packaged and ready.
Definitely. That's the most important part, in my opinion.
Well, that's what separates, like, I mean, when you produce a game, Rainbow comes out with some game that everybody hears of and plays, like, the menus are going to work right. They're going to look good. Like, all these little things that people don't consider as much are really important to the presentation. And
yeah, it's all about, like, the subtlety of just, you know, how the littlest things work, at least to me. I mean, I don't know how you feel about it, James.
Yeah. Definitely. I mean, like, I've been working on the dishwasher for 4 months to get it, you know, really fleshed out. Or not fleshed out, really, just, you know, start to finish. Since then, I've been working on fleshing now and just adding polish, and that's been 8 months of work.
Yeah.
So it's this crazy, like, you could probably draw a graph that would be like, you know, sharp spike upward at the beginning and then just, you know, very slow incline because, you know, in terms of work put into it and how much, you know, how much work comes out of it, I guess.
Yeah, they say 90% of the work produces 10% of the product. So anyway, we're at That's the end true. Of the show. I want to thank you very much for coming on and apologize to your PR lady again. We love Edelman. They're awesome. And so,
and we love to receive product from them as well from time to time.
Definitely. If you're listening to the show in time, please go over to your Xbox 360 console, download the XNA Creators Club download launcher or player, and get The Dishwasher as well as all the other games. And when it comes time to actually download the game for real, we'll have James on again. So thank you very much, James. See you guys next week.
You've been listening to Chatterbox Video Game Radio. Tune in next week for more tips and info and the latest and greatest in video gaming. And remember, all your base are belong to us.